You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 16th of November 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I'll just begin today's podcast with a short word on what was happening in Ukraine. Quite disgraceful, really. Missiles or fragments of missiles went into Poland and straight away, the BBC was saying that these were Russian missiles. And I thought, well, where are you getting that evidence from? And apparently Zelensky had said this was a Russian attack on Polish soil. So there were headlines in the British press talking about Russian missiles. There was Poland talking about this, saying that it was likely to be Russian missiles, but they didn't actually say anything. They didn't actually give an official explanation of this. You had Estonia saying that they were going to defend every inch of NATO's soil, which would be difficult because Estonia is a very tiny country. Latvia similarly said the same. And for about 3 hours last night on the BBC, on the news channel, they were just talking about this and how this was likely to bring in NATO Article 5, it would bring NATO into the war, basically. And then later on today, we hear from America that America has said, well, no, actually, it wasn't Russian. It was Ukrainian. And then they say, well, Ukraine said that it was a Russian-made missile, of course, meaning it was a Soviet-made missile. It was a Soviet ground-to-air missile. So it was basically friendly fire from Ukraine. And this just shows us that the mainstream press, the mainstream media, they just repeat whatever Ukraine says without checking or verifying what's been said. And Ukraine is just doing whatever it can, or Zelensky rather, is just doing whatever he can to try and escalate the war and try to bring NATO in on it. And since it was actually Ukraine that actually took out this farm, destroyed a farm and killed two people in Poland, isn't that an attack on a NATO country by a non-NATO country? Shouldn't all of NATO now come in against Ukraine for that? Anyway, highly embarrassing, I should imagine, for the people that were promoting the idea that it was a Russian attack. But I'm not going to talk about that today. Anyway, I want to look at the decolonizing of universities in Britain. And we've talked about this before. We've talked about some of these universities that have been doing this, trying to remove white people from our history and from the courses that they're doing at university. And it seems to have been pushed by students, student unions and student groups. But now we're actually having official organisations that are requesting that universities do this. Universities are being told to go woke and decolonise courses from computing to classics by the degrees watchdog. And how can you remove white people from computing? I mean, who is it that invented computers, do they think? Of course, it was white people that invented computers. When you're talking about the classics, you're talking about the classic world. Did the classic world include sub-Saharan Negroes? No, it didn't include them. It didn't include African blacks. It was mainly a white world. So if you're going to remove white people from it, you're really not going to have many classics left, are you, to study? For the first time, the Quality Assurance Agency, which checks on course standards, has incorporated critical race theory into its recommendations. What is critical race theory? Well, it's basically just being critical of white people. It's not being critical of any other race. It's not being it's even suggesting that there are any other races. Just a white race, and it's the white race that needs to be criticised. All the other races can be promoted and told that they're rather wonderful, and that the only reason why their ethnicity is not as successful as the white ethnicities is because the white race has oppressed them all. That's basically what critical race theory is, and then inserting that into whatever it is that you're talking about. The Quality Assurance Agency wants a wide range of courses, including science and maths, to teach about colonialism, including white supremacy. This is just obvious politicization of disciplines that have nothing to do with politics, isn't it? Science and maths. I mean, how can you teach about colonialism and white supremacy when you're talking about mathematical formulas? Of course, what they mean there is they say, well, mathematics was all thought up by white people, and it's white supremacy to claim that 2 + 2 = 4. Why shouldn't 2 + 2 = 5? Black people might think 2 + 2 = 5. So that's equally as relevant and equally as truthful as 2 + 2 = 4. That is literally the mentality that is behind this and what they are suggesting. It is expected many tutors will take on board the advice, although compliance is technically voluntary. And that's the way that they're getting away with this. They're saying that this is just an organisation that there's no legal requirement to actually follow. But all the universities do follow it because it is the expert in the field. The move shows how much the left-wing ideology of student activists has been woven into the fabric of higher education. And it does. It shows you just how embedded this is, this mentality that's there in universities. And it's really this mentality is the reason why there is so much of it in the establishment, in all the academic subjects, once people actually leave the university. And of course, a lot of teachers, well, all teachers, I think, have to go to university. So they get indoctrinated with this in the university. And then when they go out to teach to the primary schools, junior schools, secondary schools, they brainwash the children with this same ideology that that they have been through. And this is how it works. And it's getting worse. In one bizarre example, the QAA says computing courses should address how hierarchies of colonial value are reinforced in the field. I guess what they mean there is that computing was invented by white people. There aren't many black people that are involved in computing. Therefore, there's a hierarchy there, isn't there? There's a hierarchy where only white people are being listened to. But that's because only white people are the ones that actually came up with the idea of computing in the first place. What have black people contributed to computing? Well, I guess we have all these scams that come out of Nigeria, don't we? Nigeria is famous for phone scams and scams on the internet, and therefore that's what black people are known for in computing. So therefore, I guess you have this hierarchy there. They're saying that it's a hierarchy of colonial value. I would suggest it's a hierarchy that's just there by reality, just by looking at it. And it's not saying that other races are being looked down upon or other ethnicities are being looked down upon at all, because of course the Chinese are definitely involved in computing, aren't they? They have the Apple factory over there. They make all the smartphones. The Chinese definitely know how to do this sort of stuff. So the fact that there aren't anything similar in Africa, where we have all these different black ethnicities, that tends to show that there is a difference between the Chinese and the African blacks, isn't there? An innate difference between them. It's not that there is this hierarchy of colonial value, because the Chinese were looked down upon by the British Empire, weren't they? The Chinese went to war. Well, the British went to war against the Chinese in order to force our opium upon them when they didn't want to buy our opium, and they were looked down upon. And yet in the space of the last 150 years, they've managed to become the world's biggest economy. I think they are. They're doing very, very well. Chinese are. So the fact that they're a different race doesn't mean that you're going to be oppressed by white people. So just the fact that the Chinese have done so well, and they've done so well in computing, I mean, this really sort of discredits this idea that computing courses have apparently had a hierarchy of colonial value that's being reinforced in the field. Meanwhile, in geography, it thinks courses should acknowledge racism, classism, ableism, homophobia, and patriarchy. Well, what is geography about? Well, geography is about looking at the different countries in the world. As far as I'm aware, it's only white people actually mapped the different countries in the world. It's only white people that measured the size of these countries and plotted them all on a map. So the whole idea of geography comes from white people. How is it homophobic to be looking at maps of the world? I don't know how they managed to insert homophobia in there. Last night, critics said the advice was anti-white and anti-Western, and accused the QAA of ordering courses to go woke. Very good that we've got this term anti-white that is now being used in the mainstream press. I'm getting this from the Daily Mail, and they do seem to use this quite a lot now. It comes after a Daily Mail investigation found many universities are already decolonising science and vocational subjects following pressure from activists. And we covered this a couple of weeks back when we were looking at this, and how this was apparently it was coming from the students themselves. The latest advice from the QAA is incorporated into 25 subject benchmarks, which describe what it thinks students should study and the standards they should meet. So they're saying that instead of studying purely maths or history or whatever, there's got to be this anti-white teaching embedded into it that talks about white supremacy, white privilege. And it seeks to explain the reason for the differences between the different ethnicities as if those differences are just down to white oppression rather than are down to innate differences, which is what we would suggest as nationalists. We tend to say that what your eyes see are not deceiving you. If you see something that looks different, that is because it is different. And the reason why different ethnicities are, some are good at some things and some are not so good at others, it's because that is just natural for them, because they are different. There is as much diversity, rather, within the human kingdom as there is within the animal kingdom. It's not that white people are oppressing these different groups. And as I say, just look at the Chinese achievements to see that that this isn't anything to do with racial oppression, because the Chinese are a different race to white people, and yet they've managed to succeed in many areas where blacks have not succeeded, whereas blacks do succeed in some areas, such as running. They're very good at sprinting. They're very good at rhythm. They have their own rhythms. They're very good at basketball. There are things that each race is good at. It's like the Chinese are very good at miniaturizing things that white people have created. They're very good at coming out with smaller devices based on the innovation of white people. All the races of the world are different. They're good at some things. They're not so good at others. And what this critical race theory seeks to teach people is that the reason for these differences is purely and simply because white people have oppressed them. If it wasn't for slavery and white oppression, there would be a Wakanda civilization in Africa right now. That is the belief that they teach. The document for biomedical sciences says that students should critically engage with how the field has contributed to and benefited from social injustice, and how influential scientists might have benefited from and perpetuated misogyny, racism, homophobia, ableism, and other prejudices. Now, this is rather interesting. Biomedical science. So this is measuring differences and collecting statistics and looking at the differences between races, between people, between the sexes. And what they're saying with this is that people who have done this, influential scientists, how have they benefited from and perpetuated racism, homophobia, ableism, and other prejudices? And what they're really saying here is that it's the scientist's fault if he finds a difference that may not be perceived as being a good thing by that particular group. Whereas in actual fact, all these scientists are doing are measuring the world around us. If the world around us tells us that there are differences between certain groups, differences that could be perceived as being a positive difference or a negative difference, that's because that's the facts of the matter, isn't it? It's not because the scientists have been deliberately trying to make some of these groups out to have negative characteristics and other groups to have positive characteristics. And what they're effectively, that's what they're saying here, is that these scientists should be blamed for this. I mean, what we even now have is scientific magazines saying that any scientist that is studying an area which shows that there are differences, they should not be doing that work. They should not be doing that research. We should not be discovering the things in the world that show that there are differences. We should all be pretending that everybody is the same. Everybody is just like a blank slate. Now, I would suggest that that is critically engaging with this idea. But what they mean here is, by critically engaging, means criticizing these scientists that showed that there were these differences between the races, which they were basically doing about 100 years ago. Lots of research in this area. You still have people that are doing research in that area today, but they don't get any funding for it. That's the problem that we have today. And even when people do meta-studies and show things like there are differences between groups in intelligence, then the scientist that has actually done that work will end up being cancelled, and he'll be removed from being able to work in universities or being able to speak to people. We're basically hiding the reality of the world from the general public. The benchmarks include new instructions on equality, diversity and inclusion for each subject. I mean, how can they not say that this is political? The whole drive towards equality is a left-wing drive. This whole drive for diversity's sake is a left-wing drive. And inclusion, which means never ever saying anything that might hurt somebody's feelings or might say something negative about a particular group or that may be perceived as being negative. That's a left-wing drive as well. The whole thing is just left-wing. Meanwhile, economics undergraduates shall be taught that it is still predominantly a white male and Western field. Well, of course it is. The whole idea of an economy, a large-scale economy, is a European idea. It is a white idea that you have a large group together that are producing things so that you can have enough things that are produced, that you can have an intellectual class so that they can devote all their time to thinking and inventing things rather than having to go out in the field and plow the field and sow the field with seed and keep animals and do all these things. That's the whole that whole idea of having a large group working together in a stable area is a white idea, isn't it? These urban centres that we have, these civilizations from history, they were all created by white people. And that's why it's predominantly a white male and Western field. Language courses are told to encourage students to reflect on historical and contemporary forms of injustice and inequality related to imperialism, colonialism, class or gender divisions. And I guess what they're talking about that is the fact that a lot of languages have male and female words, depending on what the subject of the word is. And they're saying that promotes gender divisions and that is inequality there and misogynistic. I mean, this is why they come out with this word Latinx or Latinx instead of Latin or Latina, trying to make, because in the Latin languages there are so many male and female words. It's the same in French. You have male and female words, same in German. I don't think we actually do in English, or we don't have so many of them. I think I can remember from my French lessons days, there was la and le to say whether something was male or female. And then you would say whatever the object was. So these language courses are saying, well, this is a terrible thing. This is one of the things that has led to us having this fantasy that there is a difference between males and females, whereas really the difference is all in the mind. It has nothing to do with chromosomes or anything silly like that. I mean, that's the sort of fantasy that they're pushing on these students nowadays. Chris McGovern of the Campaign for Real Education said today, it is alarming. Campuses are being ordered to go woke. This QAA enforcement of anti-white and anti-Western racial hatred and division is iniquitous. It will undermine racial integration in our country and breed either resentment or self-loathing. And that's the thing with this. It teaches white people to hate themselves, and it teaches black people to blame white people for everything in their lives that they're not happy with. If they don't get a job, they don't get the job they wanted, that must be down to racism. If they are looked at by a security guard as looking suspicious when they go in a supermarket, that must be racism. It can't possibly be that somebody that looked similar to that person was caught thieving in the supermarket the other day. It has to be down to racism. And this is the problem. It doesn't matter how much work you put into racial equality and how many diversity quotas you put in there, how much promotion of black people you put on the television, there will always be that suspicion in a multicultural society. There will always be that suspicion that the reason why you haven't got what you wanted is because of discrimination. And the only way that you can avoid that is to stop having multicultural societies. If black people were all living amongst other black people, they could never say that the reason why they didn't get a job is because they were being discriminated against by race. They could never be able to say that the reason why they were found guilty in a court of law is because of their race and because of discrimination and prejudice. I mean, it just wouldn't happen. That is the only way that you can actually get rid of it. It doesn't matter because it doesn't matter how many programs you have, there's always still going to be that suspicion there, isn't there? And it's going to be the same for white people. White people are going to think, well, the reason I didn't get that job is because there was a diversity quota that said that the company should be employing non-white people in preference over white people. And we even see these adverts now that are suggesting this. So it's not just black people that are suspicious that are being discriminated against. White people are suspicious of this as well. I dare say the Chinese are suspicious of it too. And you just wouldn't have that suspicion if you didn't have multiculturalism. Chris McGovern continues, the QAA should be promoting enlightenment and knowledge, not prejudice and ignorance. And that's very true, but it's been a long time now since our universities were actually promoting enlightenment and knowledge, because if you have taboo areas that you're not allowed to investigate, then that is ignorance, isn't it, that is actually being taught, not enlightenment and knowledge. Professor Dennis Hayes of Academics for Academic Freedom said the move codifies the politicization of university subjects. He added, this allows activists to push their feel-good political ideas. Instead of teaching the best that is known and thought in each discipline, they have been occupied by political activists always defending the alleged victims. And this is the point. Instead of teaching everything that there is to know about a discipline, they turn the discipline into being used to inculcate these political ideas into the students, rather than teaching them how to think. He says the loss to students is considerable. They are being denied proper access to the study of subjects and therefore the legacy of human knowledge. They're actually cutting off huge areas of human knowledge and saying that they are forbidden for us to investigate. Frank Faraday, Emeritus Professor of Sociology at Kent University, said the focus on colonialism, white supremacy and decolonization aims to encourage young people to feel ashamed about the nation's past and to embrace the values promoted by advocates of identity politics. And what we should be teaching people really is we've always been very, very similar to how we are now. And white people are very charitable, we're very merciful, we're very concerned about other people and wanting to help other people. And we were no different 200 years ago to how we are today. If you look at all these attempts that we are making to help victims, to be charitable to these other groups, that shows you what we are like. So the idea that 200 years ago we were just oppressing people because of the color of their skin, it's nonsense. That's not something that white people would be doing. And yes, slavery is there, but slavery was there for thousands of years, and white people have been enslaved. Slavery wasn't about a racial thing or a racist thing about not liking colours. It was just a need for human resources. And there's always been that need for human resources. And today we use machines for that sort of thing on the farms. That's the only reason why we don't need so much farm labour now, is because we have machines. And back then we didn't have lots of things that people could spend their money on. People were paid in kind. If they worked on a farm, they would get their food, they'd get their lodging, they get their housing, they get everything done for them. The whole system of employment was different 200-300 years ago to how it is today. I don't believe it was about trying to oppress one group and denying that group its chance to have the same as white people, because we did. We introduced all these things to these other groups. We went to Africa, we built railways, we built universities, we built telecoms, and we did away with slavery. The only people in the whole history of the world to actually do away with slavery was white people. So this idea that we just set out to oppress these other groups, I just find it impossible when you actually look at the way that white people are. And that's the way that we should be. We should be believing in ourselves, and we should be believing in our ancestors, and believing that we are good people, and then we will be good people. All of this critical race theory just ends up doing the opposite, doesn't it? It ends up telling white people that they shouldn't be doing things for their group. They should be doing things for all these other groups. And if we devote all our time doing things for all these other groups, we'll never come out with any more innovation. We'll never come out with any more of these great inventions and achievements that have helped these other groups. We should all be doing what is best for our group. That is what should be taught. And I dare say a lot of the motives for this probably got good motives there. White people that sincerely believe this, that the reason why there are these differences is because white people have oppressed these other races, and that our ancestors were terrible people. And they probably sincerely believe that. And it's just a matter of actually educating them properly and getting the truth across to them. But of course, they're never going to hear the truth if the scientists that study these things and the academics that study them end up being cancelled and banned from these universities. Alan Smithers, Professor of Education at Buckingham University, said it is deeply depressing that decolonising should have become official policy. And you might as well just call it anti-white policy, because all it means is just removing white people from all these different subjects that are being studied. All subjects should be judged on their own terms, and the QAA should be ensuring the quality of what universities provide, not pushing current fads and fashions. They're effectively talking about quantity here, aren't they? They are saying what the quantity should be rather than what the quality of the teaching should be. It comes after the new maths benchmarks were revealed by a group of 12 professors who branded them politicised in a letter published online. The QAA describes itself as the independent body entrusted with monitoring and advising on standards and quality in UK higher education. How can they call themselves an independent body when they are promoting all these left-wing anti-white ideas? Quite obviously, they're not independent. They're not trying to be unbiased in any way. They're openly being biased. They're not trying to be objective. It's quite clear that they're not independent. It is partially funded by membership fees paid by universities who collectively use it to provide monitoring and advice on course quality. In 2018, the Office for Students recommended the QAA should be the designated quality body for higher education in England because it was highly capable and trustworthy. So the fact that they say that what this advice that's actually given out by this QAA, the universities don't have to follow it, they are going to follow it, aren't they? Because they support this group, and they fund this group so that it gives them this advice. The QAA adopted the role and since then has provided the OFS with advice about quality. The QAA has no powers of its own, and all regulatory decisions about quality are made by the OFS, the Office for Students. However, universities still view it as the authority on quality, and strive to follow its advice, given the prestige of its role. So anybody that is going to university now that thinks that they're going there to study history or to study music or to study computing, the truth of the matter is they're just going there to have history, computing and music completely reimagined and turned into a politicized brainwashing course on teaching the students hatred for white people. I mean, that's what it is. We call it anti-white, but surely it's hatred for people to just remove their history and to write them out of their history and to make them out to be terrible people. I mean, it's the people that actually came out with education in the first place, the people that developed education, developed universities, developed a system, an economy that funded students so that they could go to university. All of these things came about because of white people and because of our good nature of wanting to help others. That's been turned against us here. And it's taking apart our education system and our university system now. Pathological altruism, it has been called. This desire of ours to help people and to help one another is now being used against us by our opponents. And I dare say it's not just, well, quite clearly, it's not just our opponents that are doing this. There are a lot of white people that do this. It seems to be a flaw that we have, that our desire to be charitable to one another, which fits in with evolutionary psychology and that helps the group. It's ethnocentrism, basically. Our ethnocentrism has now been directed towards all these other groups instead of just being directed inwards at us, which is how it naturally should be. So we have this flaw as white people, basically. We do have this flaw that we extend our ethnocentrism to these other groups to the detriment of our own group. But of course, we will keep pointing that out here at Radio Albion, and all nationalists point this out, basically. We're not supremacists or anything like that. We just think that everybody should be looking out for their own group rather than looking out for every other group. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.